throne. Thank God for the gospel. Thank God for this great fellowship which we have here at Hillsboro every year. I want to thank you for praying for my missus. She's on her third straight year of chemo treatment. She's in remission right now. We want to thank the Lord for that, but they're continuing the treatments. And the Lord's blessed us with an evangelistic schedule. We leave here and go down way down into the low country of North Carolina. Then we have 4 meetings in September, 4 in October, and 3 in November, and every 3 weeks back to Richmond for those treatments. And so I bring you greetings again from the evangelistic trail. And I'm thankful for the people out there that still believe in one Lord, in one faith, in one baptism, and that still believe in the restoration of first century Christianity. As I think about how the Lord has blessed us in our situation with Guy and Louise, I have to say, Carrie, that she's not lost her wit at all. And I've learned something the hard way. Men, have you learned that you just don't pick on your wives? Don't pick on a woman. They'll get the best of you every time. She had gotten off of the chemo pump, and we were up in Ohio, a little further up in a revival meeting some time ago. And they got her up to play the piano. When she got up to go up there, they was glad to see her and gave her a good hand. And I thought I'd pick on her a little bit at the piano. That's where I made my mistake. And I started bragging on her, and I bragged on her about this, and bragged on her about that. And I said, but she doesn't make biscuits like my mother. And right from the piano, even though a woman ought to be silent in the church, I want to tell you what she said. You don't make dough like my dad. So men, listen, they'll get the best of you every single time. And I thought, and you get yourself deeper when you try to get out of a problem, a dilemma. And so I thought I would try to make up to her, and everything was quiet. And I looked over at her, and I said, but our love came from heaven. And right out from that piano bench, she said, so does thunder and lightning. And so you just can't win for losing sometimes. I don't know if Danny is Danny Postal here. Is your brother here? Brother somewhere. Where is it, Danny? Stand up. You know, Danny is not ashamed of this, doesn't have a hair on the top of his head. And he tries to be a little cute. And my wife, you know what happens when you get that chemo. She's got a little extra hair here to help her out. And in one of our revivals, Danny made a mistake of trying to tangle with her. Danny, with that bald top on, came up to her and said, I didn't recognize you with hair. She said, I wouldn't recognize you with hair either. So, all right. Well, listen, it's exciting. And my Carrie's had a dose of something. Did you notice how upbeat he was? Somebody gave him a shot or something. My, what a greeting, what a welcome, what an introduction, brother. And I say, thank God for you. I want to take you to the book of Romans, chapter 1. We used to be known as a people of the book. We must still be known as a people of the book. Biblical illiteracy is spreading across our land and unfortunately in the church. We need to go back to the time when we could give a thus saith the Lord for everything that we believe and practice. And we simply preach and speak where the Scripture speaks and are silent where the Scripture is silent. And we stand for the restoration of first century Christianity. I want to share a message from Romans chapter 1 and then go to several other passages this evening and just call it unashamed. Unashamed. I have shaken hands with men prior to stepping up on this stage who are unashamed. I've had men to pray with me tonight, and I need your prayers. I need your prayers. And they prayed for me, men who were unashamed. There are evangelists here who are unashamed with tears running down your face because of what's happening in our beloved land. I'm thankful to be an American citizen, but my friends, I'm concerned about the church. America's not going to be saved. America's going to hell in a handbasket. We're going to try to do everything we can to help America, but it's the church, the kingdom of God, that's going to be saved. And the church needs an old-fashioned revival. Who said you couldn't have an old-fashioned revival? I'm 75, older than I've ever been before, fatter than I've ever been before, uglier than I've ever been before. And I got an amen down here on the last part. Shame on you. Anyway, it's the truth. But I thank God that we're having some of our best meetings. People are upbeat. You turn the old-time religion loose on these churches, and it'll turn them on their heels. If you can get past some of those little pink pantyhose tippy-toe preachers that have come tippy-toeing out of these institutions with some kind of agenda, get behind them, get behind the pulpit, and preach hellfire and brimstone, it'll wake up the congregation, and an old-fashioned revival can be turned loose, and we need to turn one loose, and the quicker we do it, the better off we're going to be. All right. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, one of the greatest evangelists that ever traveled and preached said, I'm not ashamed. In Romans 1:16, one of the greatest preachers that ever stood up on a riverbank or ever preached from a prison or ever preached from a synagogue, one of the best preachers that ever preached, Romans 1:16 said, for I'm not ashamed. A man that was so unashamed that he was willing to die for what he was preaching. In Romans 1, this man said, for I am not ashamed. I say it here tonight. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed. He said, I am not ashamed. He spoke this boldly. He spoke this clearly. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And I say tonight, we must not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We must not compromise the gospel of Christ. We must not minimize the gospel of Christ. We must not substitute the gospel of Christ. There's no substitute for the teachings of God. And Paul was on the line when he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. He didn't say it is the power. He said it is the power. The power. We've got too much of this kind of preaching. We need some more power preaching. We need some preachers that are more concerned about stability in the Word and less interested in crowds. We need elders that'll stand on their hind legs, deacons that'll stand on their hind legs, evangelists that'll stand up and preach and tell the people the truth and bring our churches back to the commitment and dedication which they once had. As I look at this powerful passage, I have four or five verses I want to call your attention to. In the book of Romans chapter 1, the Bible says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called. Paul was called. He was called. You remember his wonderful conversion as we go back to the ninth chapter of the book of Acts. He was not saved on the road to Damascus. He was saved when he arose and was baptized inside the city of Damascus. And Ananias was faithful enough to go in there and uncompromisingly tell Paul the truth, but Paul was called. And this called man is telling us that he was not ashamed. I want us to notice what it says here, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of Christ. He was called. The Bible teaches that he was separated. You have been called if you've obeyed the gospel. Not a divine calling, but a call through the gospel. And you have been called to be faithful unto death. You have been called to not make excuses for being around the Lord's table on the Lord's day. You've been called for being at the prayer services. You've been called to be there whenever the church doors are open. You've been called to be faithful. You've been called to not compromise. You've been called to be unashamed, unashamed of the gospel of Christ. And Paul stood there, whether he lived or died, it meant little to him. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He was faithful to his calling. Then we go on to another passage of Scripture here in verse 6. He says, among whom ye also are the called of Christ Jesus. And so the Romans had been called. Then dropping down to verse 7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called. Here's that word called. Called to be saints. You're not canonized to be a saint after you expire. My friends, if you're not a saint before you're dead, you're never going to become one. You become a saint when you obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's who Paul was writing to. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. And not one nationwide television evangelist understands how to rightly divide the Word of God when it comes to what passages of Scripture deal with Christians and what passages of Scripture deal with telling people how to be saved. These Sunday night evangelists, they wouldn't recognize the gospel if it came down the road with a hat on.
We'll take you to Ephesians and to Colossians and to books that were written not to convert people, but to people that were already saved, already saints. They'll go there and they'll quote those passages instead of going back to the book of Acts. But Paul was writing to the saints that were there at Rome. Now look at verse 14. Paul said, I'm a debtor. I feel like I'm a debtor. I feel that I'm a debtor. Like Paul, I'm a far cry from him. But Paul said, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel. I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. As we look back here at Rome, the Apostle Paul was not ashamed to preach the gospel in Rome. He was looking forward to going to Rome to preach. He had preached in Ephesus, he'd preached in Colossae, he'd preached in Corinth. He wanted to go to the citadel of the Caesars, and he wanted to preach the gospel. And unashamedly, he was willing to go. He believed all the gospel, and he was willing to go and preach all the gospel in Rome. He didn't believe in compromising. He was ready to go to Rome and non-compromisingly preach the gospel. He would preach the gospel to the Praetorian Guard. Later on in the book of Philippians, he would say, they of Caesar's household salute you. And so the gospel was the power of God right under Caesar's nose. I want to tell you tonight, the gospel is God's power wherever it is preached. And you don't have to sugarcoat it, softcoat it, preach it with love. But it is the power, and we need to stand on it, and we need to get back to it, and we need to bring our nation and our churches back to the old-time power of the Word of God as it is set forth here in the Scriptures. As I think about Rome, Paul being unashamed to preach the gospel at Rome, there were people from Rome there on the day of Pentecost. And these people already understood the plan of salvation. We need to understand the plan of salvation in the churches. We need to drill our young departments in the plan of salvation. It's good to know all of these things. We need to teach them everything, but we're missing out on the basics. We need to teach the plan of salvation. We need to preach the one Lord, the one faith, the one baptism, the one church, and teach our young people not to be ashamed. But on the day of Pentecost, there were people from Rome there. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, Camelites, Metals from Mesopotamia, clear up from the Russian border, and they heard the wonderful works of God. There were some there from Rome. And at the end of that sermon, they cried out and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. You know, he never said as an outward working of an inward grace. If you were baptized as an outward working of an inward grace, you need to be baptized before you leave this building tonight and to this week. They were not baptized in order to simply obey a command. They were not baptized to have it done. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you have not been baptized for the remission of sins, you've not been baptized the Bible way. And these Romans heard this. About 3,000 souls obeyed the gospel, and they fanned out, and some were already back in Rome. Paul wanted to go and preach, and unashamedly, he was willing to go and preach to those saints that were there in Rome. He was unashamed to preach to them about sin. Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, he said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He said, there's none righteous, no, not one. It didn't sound like Paul believed in this doctrine of sinless perfection, did it? In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the Apostle Paul said, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Tell your children that. Tell your in-laws that. Tell the people that live around you that the wages of sin is death. Since our motorhome burned and the Lord has blessed us with a little double wide in a community, we have some of the best neighbors that we've ever had. But they need Christ. They need the gospel. Pray for me that somehow we'll be able to get to them. My friends, the Apostle Paul had a way of talking to his neighbors, talking to everyone, wherever he had an opportunity to preach. But as we look back here, the Apostle Paul had an opportunity to go back there to Rome and preach to those people that were converted on the day of Pentecost. And it thrills me that Paul was successful in getting the gospel preached to the Praetorian Guard, and he says, "They of Caesar's household salute you," and Roman was the citadel of power. Roman is where the power was. But Paul says, the power is in the gospel. And so that's where the power is today. The Apostle Paul was unashamed to preach the gospel, and he was unashamed of the gospel at Philippi. I have a passage of Scripture here that I would like to read to you from the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, and verse 25. "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." Those of you that are Bible students recognize that Paul is in prison for preaching the gospel and for doing good. The Bible teaches that he received the Macedonian call. He was called over to Philippi, the chief city of Macedonia, and God called him over there and evidently called him to go into the inner sanctum of the prison for some reason, because Paul preached the truth unashamedly and he ended up in prison. Some of these little shave-tail, compromising, limp-wristed, tippy-toe preachers would never get arrested because they don't preach enough strong gospel. I was listening to Joe Osteen last night. He said a lot of things that were good. But I tell you, when he dies, you're going to have to stop his eyes and stop him from grinning. But I want to tell you, it's not just all peaches and cream. There has to be some hellfire and brimstone in our preaching. There has to be some power in our preaching. There has to be some application in our preaching. It's good to preach powerful, positive sermons, but we must preach with an application. That's the problem today. Many of the ministers and evangelists will not apply, according to the Scriptures, the messages which they're preaching. On the day of Pentecost, Paul applied it. He said, "You've crucified him." What about that so-called deacon, or at least a first cousin to a deacon, Stephen, when he finished his message in the 7th chapter of the book of Acts? My, look how unpopular he became. He looked at the people that were complacent in their sin, that were non-committed, that were living the wrong life, that had participated in the sinful acts of participating in the death of Jesus. He said to them, this preacher said to them, "You uncircumcised in heart and ears, you resist the Holy Ghost. You're no better than your parents were. They resisted the Holy Ghost. Which of the prophets have they not persecuted?" And it cost him his life, but he had the courage to unashamedly tell the truth. Preachers, tell the truth. Elders, stand for the truth. Deacons, stand for the truth. Women, back your men that stand for the truth. Be unashamed of the gospel of Jesus. Apostle Paul, some of you didn't forget. All right, where are we? Hillsboro. Glad to be here, amen. Dick, God bless you. Your head is a-shining. He used to use Head and Shoulders. Now he uses Mop and Glow. Look at him down there. Now as I look here, we find the Apostle Paul in the Philippian jail. And what does he do when he goes to jail? A lot of times when we have a problem, we'll say, "Well, I've been a Christian, and why do all of these things come down on me? Why do these illnesses come down on me? Why do I have all of these problems?" The Apostle Paul, beaten half to death for doing nothing but good and preaching the gospel and healing the sick, was beaten, thrown back into the back part of the prison with Silas. Their feet were made fast in the stocks, and there they were, half dead, didn't know whether they'd come out walking or feet first. But my friends, he wasn't ashamed of the gospel back there in that prison. He started singing. I can just picture Paul with a voice like Don DeWelt. I can picture his voice and Silas's voice ringing out over there. They had never heard anybody like that in that prison. They'd heard cursing, they'd heard swearing, but here were men that were committed. They had a message they were unashamed of. And so as they prayed and sang praises unto God at midnight, the prisoners heard them. There was an earthquake. Everyone's bands was loose. The doors were open. The man was about to commit suicide. He thought Paul and Silas had escaped. And they said, "Do thyself no harm. We're here." He called for a light and sprang in. Brought him out. And said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Here's where many a preacher is going to give an account on the judgment day. Here's where the religious right is going to give an account on the judgment day. They'll stop with this passage where it says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." They'll stop there. They'll not go on. Two verses down, they had a midnight baptismal service. And Paul preached the gospel. He was unashamed of the plan of salvation in the prison when he was facing death. And they had a wonderful conversion experience. And he was unashamed of the gospel like he said he was in Romans 1:16. He was unashamed of the gospel in Rome. And he was unashamed of the gospel in Philippi. Yesterday, I preached two services with the Mount Bird Church across the road, across the river from Madison, Indiana, over there in Milton, Kentucky. And Sunday night, when I went in, I saw the Lord's table and the communion trays there ready to serve the Lord's Supper. And then behind the communion table and the communion trays, I saw the baptistry. And I knew that they were going to serve the Lord's Supper to all the ones that weren't able to be there in the morning service, which they did. And I knew that 24 hours a day, midnight, 3 o'clock in the morning, or Saturday morning at 4 o'clock, they were ready to baptize into Christ for the remission of sins, anyone that would walk down the aisle. And when I stood up to preach, I said, I saw that communion table. And as I thought about serving the communion tonight, I said, you could travel from the Pacific to the Atlantic. You could get on a plane and land in every airport, on every island in the world. You could circumnavigate the world, go to every continent, and there's one religious movement on the planet Earth that'll serve the Lord's Supper in an evening service to get the ones that weren't there in the morning service. And I said, that's the New Testament church. And I said, there's a baptistry. You people will baptize into Christ for the remission of sins and pointing out the same hour of the day or night. I said, you can get on a plane. You can travel around the world. And as you travel the world, there's only one institution that will encourage you to be baptized into Christ, immersed for the remission of sins at the hour of midnight. At the hour of midnight. And it's the New Testament church. And with that kind of a blessing, that kind of a position, it's no time to go soft. It's time to bear down. God bless you. Praise God tonight. Then the Apostle Paul not only was unashamed to preach the gospel in Rome and Philippi, he was unashamed to preach it in Athens. I was looking here in the book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 22. The Bible says, and the multitude, listen to this, Acts chapter 17 and verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, you men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious. And that was his introduction. God needed a man to go to the very center of philosophy. God needed a man that would go to the ones that advocated the philosophies of Aristotle and Socrates and Pythagoras and Epicurean and the Stoic philosophers. Ones that had education, that had the equivalent of PhD degrees. God needed a man to go there, to go to Mars Hill, to walk up Mars Hill, to go to the Areopagus and preach the gospel. And Paul said, I'm unashamed of the gospel. He was unashamed to preach it in Rome. And now God had a man. Paul, you're it. You're the one. And so Paul went into town. What was he going to do? He saw all of these altars everywhere. Remind me of denominations everywhere. And he came to an unknown God. He said, that's the one I'm going to preach unto you. Several men obeyed the gospel. Some of the chief women, Dionysus the Areopagite, obeyed the gospel. And the gospel was the power of God unto salvation in the equivalent of the Harvard and the Yale of that time. The gospel is the power of God anywhere that is preached. And we must not be ashamed to preach it and ashamed to tell it. And then last of all, Paul was unashamed to preach the gospel at Ephesus. There was quite an experience Paul had at Ephesus. He evidently sensed there was something wrong, Brother Carey. He asked them a question that I don't recall being asked anywhere in the 66 books of the Bible. Paul saw about 12 disciples there, and he asked them this interesting question in verse 2 of Acts 19. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said, we've not even heard whether there is any Holy Ghost. One translation said, we've not heard that the Holy Ghost has been given. And so Paul was right. sensing that something was wrong, he said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" They said, "We've not even heard whether there is a Holy Ghost." He said, "What kind of baptism did you get?" They said, "The baptism of John the Baptist." He pointed out that was done for. They had to be baptized the Bible way. And they received the indwelling of the Spirit. Paul was there. They received an extra blessing. But Paul was unashamed of the gospel at Ephesus. They had a riot for a period of hours when they thought that the goddess Diana worship was threatened. Really, it was their pocketbooks that was threatened. They started shouting, "Great is Diana! Great is Diana! Great is Diana!" And they tried to cause a riot. They wanted to kill Paul, but unashamedly, Paul stood his ground and then he left to go on to his next mission field. But he was unashamed to preach the gospel in the midst of the worshipers of the goddess Diana. They had to be baptized right, even though they'd been baptized with the baptism of John the Baptist. They had to be baptized, immersed by the authority of Jesus and in His name in order to receive the Holy Spirit. We were in a meeting. It's been a while back now, and the preacher was over there to the car. A man had come over to talk to me, and the preacher had brought him over there, and we were both talking to him, and he had a problem with his baptism. And the preacher said, "I've got something to do," so he left. Left me with the man. The man told me that he was baptized at first. Well, I won't tell you where he was baptized. He was baptized as an outward working of an inward grace. He was baptized to get into some denomination. He was immersed in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He said, "I was immersed in that denomination." Then he said, "I went to another town of the same denomination, and they baptized me again into, not only into, not into Christ, but into a church." And I only could think of one thing to tell him. I said, "Well, you've not done it right yet." And I told him what baptism was. That it was on the basis of your faith, you're immersed for the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he was in church yesterday, thrilled that he'd obeyed the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, we're living in a crisis time. I want all the elders, please, to stand. All the elders in the assembly, please, to stand. God bless you, elders. As you shepherd the flock, as you feed the flock, in this dangerous hour when the wolves are roaming, God bless you. I want you deacons, please, to stand with them. All of you deacons that are in the assembly. You deacons are very important commodities in the Lord's church. You can help make the difference between the church being a success and a failure. Serve and be faithful unto the Lord. I want now all you evangelists, all you Bible-believing preachers to stand, please. All you preachers of the gospel. Thank God for these evangelists. Thank God for these preachers. Don't compromise the gospel. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't go down there to the ministerial association and buy the latest stuff that's come down the pike. Don't get your messages from the internet. Don't get them from Louisville. Don't get them from Louisville and from Indianapolis. Get your messages from God. God bless all of you. God bless every one of you. Let's be faithful and unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You may be seated, please. I got a minute and a half. I enjoyed that song. I'm glad it was a minute and a half long. There was a girl that was ashamed of her mother's hands. They were emaciated. They'd been nearly burned to a crisp. And the girl didn't want her mother to be seen with her in public with those ugly hands, and she made her mother wear gloves. And it went good for a while, but one day she was out in public and her mother had forgotten the gloves. And the girl saw her mother and the girl's friend saw her mother and those terribly burned hands. And the girl went home upset, chiding her mother because she let her friends see those terrible hands. And she finally told her daughter what had happened. She said, "Honey, when you were a baby, our house burned. We lost everything. You were upstairs. I went up to your crib where you were, and my hands were burned as I put a blanket around you. They almost had to amputate my hands. I forgot the whole story. That's what happened to my hands. Friends, what happened to Jesus' hands? Paul said, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let's not be ashamed, but accept the challenge to preach it stronger than we've ever preached it before. God bless every one of you.